Is there panic in the White House? What could the Biden administration be worried about? Are the government agencies actually working against each other? And what's going on with bonds? Is this it? Is this finally the beginning of secular inflation that everyone's been waiting for? Or is the market wrong? I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and welcome to the Macro Show. I'm very happy to have you here today, as always, because there's something I've been wanting to talk about that's really near and dear to part of my macro thinking, is how the government actually works against each other. And we're going to see on one hand how some of the economic data looks really good, and you have to take it at face value and say, wow, the economy, maybe it is about to have a secular rebound, and maybe there is about to be inflation because this data looks really good. And then you go to the other extreme and say, well, if that's the case, why is the Biden administration doing what it's doing? Is it worried about something? Does it see something that we're not seeing in the data? And then you draw the path between them and it starts to make sense because there are problems, but the data doesn't add up to that. So what am I talking about? Let's take a look at what happened today. We got the JOLTS, the job openings and labor turnover survey data. This happened to be former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, the new Secretary of the Treasury, her favorite report. And let's look at this because, I mean, it's off the charts. 10.073 million jobs available. This breaks the previous record. This is all-time high. Breaks the previous record of 9.483 million job openings. So if we go and look here on the FRED database, this is record high. We've gone all the way back to as far as this data set will go. And right now, what this is telling us is there are a massive amount of jobs available in the United States. In fact, if you want one, maybe you could get two because that's how many there are. Now, in a strong economy, you look for a lot of job openings because it gives you an idea that existing workers can change jobs and people that want to enter the workforce can get a job. And that, in theory, should put upward pressure on wages. But what's the problem with that? Well, let me show you the first problem because there's a lot of them. We're going to come back to this thought in a second. But the first problem is if there's all these jobs available, why are there somewhere around 400,000 claims, initial unemployment claims per week? Because that number right there, my friends, it's recessionary level numbers. You know, that's what you see in a recession. And so then you look down and say, wow, there's still 12 million, almost 13 million people on some form of unemployment claim. Well, the good news is there's a job for almost all of them. In fact, that would be phenomenal. But you might remember that Jeff Snyder, friend of mine, and Emil Kalinowski, another friend of mine. In fact, Jeff wrote about this, and then Emil and Jeff talked about this on their show, that Jeff thought that the JOLTS survey was double counting jobs. And many of you reached out to me and said, you know, Steve, I think they're right because my company posts a job that we never apply, that we never have any, we don't take applicants for, we never interview anyone for. Other people reached out and said, yeah, my company, not only do we post a job here, we post it in other countries like India. And then we end up hiring the person from India at a fraction of the wage. So we have this constant, due to these regulations, that we have to post jobs, especially if we're looking for people outside the country. And so this number perhaps is artificially inflated because the government doesn't know how to count the actual number of jobs. And when you start to get this picture, you'll see in a little bit why the White House might be afraid. But let's continue on with the story because here from Zero Hedge, here's a great chart that looks at unemployed workers in blue versus total job openings. And the conclusion is, there's 1.371 million more job openings than unemployed workers. So this is a non-issue. Well, I mean, we should just see people going out and getting jobs immediately. And those that have jobs that want better paying jobs should have no problem getting it. And then if we look at the non-farm payroll report, as we did on Friday, we still get this number that there's, you know, 8 or 9 million jobs to get back to where we should be on trend. And for those of you that are counting on a taper from the Fed, keep in mind the Fed has never, keyword never, tapered until we've gotten the employment back to where it should be. So we're still looking, say, in the 8 million number, I would say dollar, 8 million number of jobs that need to be filled. Well, hey, the good news, there's 10 million of open, so we could do that pretty quick. But what is the bigger picture here that you start to see some worry and why you would think the White House is concerned, and they have every reason to be. So let me show you this. We take a look at this article. It says unemployment aid will vanish for 7.5 million workers in September, and there's no plan to extend. Now, keyword, vanish. So this report from Century Foundation found 7.5 million Americans will lose their unemployment benefits in September. These workers will lose all of their unemployment benefits, not just the $300 weekly benefit. So let's put that in context. 7.5 million Americans are going to have no income in about 4 weeks or five. I think we're this will be the fifth week. So on September 6th, it's all over 7.5 million Americans out of work. Now you say, well, that's no big deal. They can go get jobs. Yes, they, well, in theory, they can. However, if you've applied for a job at any time in the past, recently, you know that you don't just get hired. You walk in. You know, it's not like the movies where you carry in the help wanted sign, put it on the table, and they hire you and you start getting paid. Now, where this data then gets used, because remember, so this part of the running idea here is a non-farm payroll report is inaccurate because they took an actual minus 133,000 jobs and seasonally adjusted into 943,000. So they created effectively a million jobs. But look at what happens when policymakers start to get wind of the data. And here you have Senator Manchin, I'm done with extensions of federal unemployment benefits. So he's saying no more. And he signaled on Saturday that he would not support including an extension of federal jobless aid for gig workers and long-term unemployed Americans beyond Labor Day in the Democrats' budget reconciliation package this fall. He says, I'm done with extensions. The economy is coming back. Look, guys, read your own print. See, here you go. Read your own print. Remember, this is coming from a government agency. He had to read your own print. The economy is stronger now. The job market is stronger. We'll update this. 10 million jobs we can't fill. We're coming back. So now all of a sudden, you know, you see Congress starting to make future policy based on potentially bogus data. And does the White House have an inkling that this is true? Well, let's go to what the White House has to say. And here you see, what did they do this weekend? Student loan repayment pause extended to January 2022 by Biden administration has extended the pandemic payment pause related to federally backed student loan payments to January 31st, 2022. So for many of you, this is, hey, this is great news. The payment pause has been a lifeline that allowed millions of Americans to focus on their families, health, finances, instead of student loans during the national emergency. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona stated in a press release, as our nation's economy continues to recover from a deep hole, this final extension will give students and borrowers the time they need to plan for a restart and ensure a smooth pathway back to repayment. Now, you get this, like, if there's 10 million jobs available and there's like, say, 5 weeks left of unemployment and there's all this demand from employers to hire, why would you need to extend student loan repayment? Why would you need to do it? Unless you're actually worried that 7.5 million people in this country are going to have zero income next month. And when you start looking at some of the other data here, we'll go to Bank of America, and this is internal data and from their global research division. What do they say? States where unemployment insurance expired and payments have been cut. Now, mind you, just cut. It doesn't mean their total benefits have gone away. Just mainly we can think of this just as the federal one. Credit card spending for recipients versus non-recipients. And what do you see? Households that did not, they maintain their spending. Hey, what a surprise. You still have income. You can still spend. And households that received it went down. And that is a big difference there. Now, add the number is 7.5 million people are going to have no benefits. None. So what do you think is going to happen to spending? It's going to go down significantly. And then you start to look at the money supply. The one key thing that everyone's been talking about is inflation. It's going to mean the money supply. But not many people were talking about the money supply from last month. And let's take or from June and look at this. It went from 20.37, we'll round up 2 trillion to 20.389. So a 17 $1 billion increase, which is nothing. It usually increases at a much faster rate than that. So what you have now is the money supply slowing. And we talked about this on Friday when the show titled Wage Crisis is one of the problems is that prices are growing faster than wages. So how can people afford higher prices? And when you have 7.5 million people going to have a big goose egg for their income, zero, how are they going to afford these higher prices to sustain inflation? And when you factor now the money supply is not growing and you look at what the White House's response is, it tells you they know there's a problem. But when you look at these government agencies, whether it's the Fed or Congress or anyone else that has to look at the data and make policy, you can see why when they fudge the data, it can cause big problems. Now, is this enough to cause the Fed to start tapering? No. Does it matter if it does? No. So what's the issue with bonds? Why would bonds all of a sudden have, you know, what are we on a four-day sell-off, something like that? What's the big deal here? Well, what's happening this week? Well, you have the 3-year treasury note, 10-year treasury note, and the 30-year long bond auction. And what's coming on Wednesday? That's right, the CPI. And there's this crazy belief that higher consumer prices mean that you have to pay a higher interest cost. So if you have less income, particularly if you're 7.5 million people who have no income, of course, that means you're not going to have trouble getting a loan to begin with. How can you afford higher prices and on higher interest rate expense? The bottom line is you can't. And when you look at start looking at the money supply and you look at, again, the response from the White House, it makes perfect sense. You think, well, if you were the president and you were part of the Biden administration and that was your office, you might do the same thing because you don't want to find out what happens not only when people's income goes to zero, but everyone else has to start making payments on their debt. It takes away from discretionary spending and it leads to an economic slowdown. Now, let's take a look at what's going on in the credit data from Friday. We didn't get a chance to dig into this, and this is pretty serious stuff going on here. Bank credit up $49 billion. So what are you looking for in here? You're looking for an expansion of the bank's balance sheets, and we want to see an expansion in credit. Securities and bank credit were up $25 billion. Mortgage-backed securities up $9 billion, and U.S. Treasuries up $11 billion. Now, mind you, U.S. Treasuries, of course, everyone says you shouldn't buy them. But you look at these non-mortgage, these other securities, these were down. These are state-backed and other non-U.S. government-backed securities. So it looks like the banks were kind of backing off just a little bit on some of this stuff here. But overall, they're up. Actually, they were up on this one. But they were overall up $25 billion. And now we look at loans and leases, all commercial banks. And what do we find? Up $25 billion. That's pretty good. But the details aren't so good. Commercial industrial loans up $5 billion. In real estate up $9 billion, consumer loans up $2 billion, cash is down $27 billion. But where's all these other loans coming from? Well, how about all loans not elsewhere classified? Wow, they were up quite a bit. They were up about $5 billion. Where could that be? Includes loans for, oh, you're going to love this. Margin debt includes loans for purchasing and carrying securities, loans to financial agricultural production, loans to foreign government, foreign banks. But you get the idea is loans for purchasing and carrying securities. You look at margin debt. Now let's take a look at the year-over-year rate of change. And here we can see real estate loan growth is sitting at just shy of 1% on the 3-month rate of change. On the 6-month rate of change, marginally over zero. The year-over-year is negative, seeing no lending growth, no money created. And you start looking at the money supply data and you say, oh, that kind of makes sense. And you look at commercial industrial loans and what do you see here? A bunch of negatives. Growth rate is up to minus 13.3%. So some people are saying this is reflation. Got a long ways to go, especially with consumer spending about to nosedive when 7.5 million people have no income. And start looking at loans and leases, all bank credit. The growth rate is up to minus 1.64% from a year ago. And the 6-month rate change is, you know, again, you know, looking at 1%. And the 3-month rate change is just barely at 0.5%. So there's virtually no growth here at all. And that tells you the economy is not recovering. And when people have less income and they have more debt and the government thinks there's a lot of jobs, the only question now becomes, when these people go look for jobs, because they're being told there's 10.5 million jobs or almost 10.5 million jobs, and they don't find them, then what? And with that, we'll be back on Wednesday, of course, for the Macro Show. As always, appreciate all of you being fans. Thanks for the likes. Thanks for the subscribes. Thanks for supporting the show. We'll see you on Wednesday from live from the Blockworks event in Bretton Woods. Until then, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information and is not intended to provide investment or other advice. Serials not to be construed as organization or solicitation by our selling security financial instrument or participate in particular training strategies. Real was paired by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity. Business expressed this video that I do not reflect the value of Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.